highest high in the world. I'm John Batchelor. The Five Eyes and AUKUS. The puzzle has been, since AUKUS was put together in 23 and 22, Australia, the United Kingdom, and the United States. That's three of Five Eyes. What about Canada? What about New Zealand? Now we have a headline. Canada, New Zealand, and South Korea in contention as future AUKUS partners. This on the same direction as all the other puzzling negotiations between these Five Eyes these last years. I'm lucky enough, however, to have an informant from New Zealand, the smallest and farthest away from Washington, at the same time has been an outsider, a dissenter, in some of the foreign policy these last decades. This headline indicates no longer. I welcome Reuben Steff, Professor Reuben Steff, International Relations at Waikato University in Hamilton, New Zealand, to comment on this headline and the direction the new government in New Zealand is taking with regard the defense of East Asia from the Chinese predators. Reuben, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. This headline in Washington, is it misleading, or is New Zealand promoting itself as wanting to join AUKUS? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Thanks for having me. That headline is suggestive and accurate of the direction of travel the New Zealand foreign policy is moving towards. That is to deepen our ties with traditional partners, especially Australia and the United States. But of course, hey, that can include the UK, maybe through expanded AUKUS, it could be Canada, Japan, and so on. What we've really seen is this government, since it was elected late last year, come out of the gates seeking to sort of reinvigorate New Zealand foreign policy after a few years of perceived drift. Our Minister of Foreign Affairs and Trade right now, Winston Peters, he has just been to the 75th commemorations of the NATO alliance in Europe. And we gather soon there will be an individually tailored partnership agreement between New Zealand and NATO to bring us into line with agreements between NATO and Japan, South Korea, and Australia. Winston Peters was also at the UN earlier this week, and he's now in Washington, D.C. He's going to be talking to Kurt Campbell, Anthony Blinken. He may very well be there. It's a timely time to be there, given the meetings with Japan, and I gather Filipino senior officials are also in Washington, D.C. So he's out there roaming the world. You also have our Minister of Space, our Minister of Defense. We call her the Minister of Everything, Judith Collins. She's currently in Colorado Springs touting New Zealand's space launch capabilities and technological companies. So clearly you're seeing New Zealand really trying to push every opportunity it can right now with our essentially liberal democratic partners in Europe and in the United States. That brings us to AUKUS Pillar 2, which, as we know, is seemingly open for business, but all the parties are trying to figure out how could we bring in, if we were to bring in, say, Japan or Canada or New Zealand. Because the sense I get is that, you know, AUKUS Pillar 2, clearly a tight agreement between UK, US, Australia. But, you know, what does New Zealand have to offer? Is New Zealand just going to be receiving these technologies? What can New Zealand actually positively contribute? And we actually do have quite a number of quite stellar startup tech companies, AI companies, people doing things around quantum, hypersonics, autonomy down here. And the New Zealand government, I think, wants to get into AUKUS Pillar 2, not just for military strategic reasons, because we want our military to remain interoperable and eventually interchangeable. That's a word being thrown around now between the New Zealand and Australian militaries, but to help out our domestic tech industry. Because a trend we have had here historically is that we have these great little small businesses, but then they just get bought up by conglomerates or bigger multinational companies overseas. So what New Zealand wants to do with these tech companies is give them a leg up, get investment for them, and make sure that they don't just wholesale, you know, go to Australia or the US or Europe, which is what they've tended to do. So I think AUKUS Pillar 2 is seen as a two-way thing, both military and economic for New Zealand.
I look at your government and ask about the persuasion of the New Zealand people in this direction. Christopher Luxon, the new prime minister, is he explaining to the people of New Zealand what's going on? Is there openness in government to say this is necessary because China's a threat? Do they speak aloud of that?
Luxon is taking a bit of a light hand in doing that. He seems to have delegated it to both Winston Peters and Judith Collins. Now, they are known to the New Zealand public. They've been around in New Zealand politics for decades, and he has given them quite a wide leash to be front-footed, to be trying to explain to the New Zealand public what's going on, what's happening in the region, and why New Zealand is investigating all these options, because it's a deteriorating strategic environment. This follows on, though, from our government last year, the Chris Hipkins government. Hipkins took over from Jacinda Ardern, where they released our first ever national security strategy, a defence strategy document as well. And they were really sounding the alarm to the New Zealand people last year as well, trying to as loudly and clearly say, hey, look, things are changing. Not for the better. And New Zealand needs to start really prioritising national security. Because in recent decades, we've tended to put trade above national security in New Zealand. What we're now seeing is a rebalancing of that equation where national security, I think, is starting to come above our economic considerations. And that, of course, relates to China, because about a third of our trade goes to China. And there are concerns, and China is not shy of warning New Zealand every now and then when we do or say things they don't like, that trade relationship could be damaged should, in their mind, we go too far, perhaps, in aligning alongside Australia and the US. But I think this government is probably willing to take that gamble because of national security concerns, geopolitical machinations in our region, and so on.
The Wolf Warriors have been brutal towards the Australians, both now and previously, the previous government. Do they treat your government with disdain?
Yes. The Chinese ambassador here is not shy to release statements criticizing New Zealand decision-making, and that is around things like AUKUS Pillar 2, that is around connections to NATO, the United States, and so on. Yes, so they pretty regularly do release statements. Their state-run media in China, of course, also every now and then will mention New Zealand warning us. So yes, we are, Wolf Warrior diplomacy is here. What we haven't had, though, is those economic sanctions that Australia experienced, at least not yet.
You also, in New Zealand, have an area of concern in the Pacific, Oceania. I know Fiji is of particular interest to New Zealand. Have you got the adequate resources to at least contend with China when it arrives to start spreading money around?
So New Zealand in 2018 announced what was called the Pacific Reset. And this was alongside Australia's Pacific Step Up. And I think even the Americans, you guys, had another Pacific initiative. But that was a soft power maneuver where we spent hundreds of millions of more dollars on aid. We stepped up diplomacy in the region and so on, because really that's all we could do at the time. Because our military is essentially hollowed out at the moment. And I think that's probably a discussion for another segment at some point, John, where the New Zealand military has suffered 30% attrition in recent years, very low morale. Its infrastructure and facilities are kind of falling apart. Even our commandos, our internationally renowned SAS commandos, are in a state of trouble as well. So New Zealand is at the very beginning process amidst all these geopolitical chaos, if you will. We're at the beginning of starting probably to rebuild our military in the years to come. So there's the economic piece and the soft power piece we have with the Pacific. We have familial ties, cultural ties. Auckland is considered the largest Polynesian city in the world. There's more Polynesians in Auckland than any of the major cities in the South Pacific. So we have these natural potential advantages here, but it's in the security and military realm where New Zealand right now is not at all prepared.
Professor Ruben Steff at Waikato University in Hamilton, New Zealand, International Relations. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,